If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. We'll be looking this morning at the last verses of the text, 17 through 21 in the book. And if you have your pew Bible, this is on page 873 in your pew Bible. But Daniel chapter 1, we began looking at this 2 weeks ago, as we looked at the nature of the brainwashing that was happening to Daniel and his friends. We explored it a little bit more in depth last week as we looked at the first nature of Daniel's resistance to some of this, in his gracious refusal to not eat of the king's food, drink of the king's drink. Now we'll see, again, a bit of God's faithfulness to these young men in the aftermath. Hear now the word of the Lord, Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. And thus ends this reading of God's holy word. May its truth truly touch our lives. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, one of the things that you've given us, dearest Heavenly Father, in this world, not as a tack-on blessing, but as one of the greatest blessings that we could have, your voice spoken to us, preserved throughout the years, that your Spirit uses to illumine the truth of Jesus Christ in our lives, in our justification, in our sanctification, and in our ultimate glorification. We pray, dearest Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will come mightily upon the ears of your people here this day, that they would have ear to hear your truth, and a heart willing and longing, dearest Heavenly Father, to take it, to apply it, to live it out in the world around them and in their own goings and comings. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, as many of you who have been with us the past few weeks have already observed, the book of Daniel is one that can take a long time to tell one particular story, perhaps. Most of this is summarizing a particular event, but it's a particular event that is encompassing many, many, many years. We've gone from verse 1 in the chapter, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Daniel's initial exile out of the land as one of the youth, to a summary form of 70 plus years of life. Chapter 1 tells us, sets the stage, from a very, very young Daniel to a very old and aged Daniel. Now the question that we ask ourselves in the life of this particular man is, what is significant about this? So many different people can be written about. Lots of events have happened in the New Testament, since the New Testament, in Old Testament times. And we only get small little snippets into all their lives. If you look at the stories of Scripture, those that we think we know so much about, we only really know a little glimpse. Isaac and Esau. We looked at this on Thursday night and in our Monday morning study. It goes from the recording of their birth to a particular event. Nothing else in between. Jesus' own birth. Recorded in a couple of the Gospels, for sure. little bit more. An incident at the temple when he was a young youth. But nothing out of his childhood is recorded until his public ministry begins. In the lives of God's people, on the pages of Scripture, we get just a small glimpse, which means that we do well to pay attention to what that small glimpse is trying to communicate to us about the Word of God at work in a particular situation that has application to the edification of the greater people of God, both in that time when the book is written and every year going forth. Daniel is taken away from his home as a young boy, forced to try to conform to pagan practices in a strange land, try to act more like the people of that land, forsake his identity. And I built on this 2 weeks ago as we sort of talked about that and said, what of that applies to us today? And we realize very often that so much the world is trying to conform us to its standard over and over and over. What it thinks is right, what it thinks is noble, what it thinks is fair, what it thinks is just. But the world's standard is always held to a higher standard, which is God's. Creator, sustainer, omnipotent, in charge thereof. Politics. Faith. Time. Look at it as it happens. Daniel gets caught up in the midst of the political turmoil that's going on. He gets taken away. We have this incident in which it's recorded for us in verses 8 through 16 that Daniel asked for permission not to eat the king's food, drink the king's drink. 10 days later, he is stronger than all the others that had actually given into it, and he receives this blessing. He maintains his purity. He doesn't give in to defilement because he knows what God has commanded in relation to food, and he stands strong in an example of faith in the midst of an onslaught of a big opposition and says, "Will you find me faithful, Lord?" Essentially, that's what it is. How easy would it have been to have rolled over and just done what the king wanted? It would have been very easy. But there's that prick, that guide, that conscience that says, "Lord, I know what you've commanded, and this is diametrically opposed to that. Lord, I can't do it. I won't do it. Lord, find me faithful." Daniel does that. Now, it seems like a small step of faith, but put yourself in those shoes for a moment, and you realize that this is a very big step of faith. When you have one who is in power over you, who has ripped you away from your home, that can do anything to you, for you to raise any sort of opposition whatsoever, rock the boat in any way, shape, or form, it has to take strong, resolute faith. In what? In God. And the more you read this story, the more you read the book of Daniel, I think you begin to get glimpses of how Daniel's life is predicated on God's purposes being worked out. Verse 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, into the vessels of the house of God. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. In the time when there were mighty kings and mighty empires and mighty wars and mighty fights, and the world has come against the people of God, they have not defeated the people of God. God has given his people into the hands of these enemies. And Daniel experiences that firsthand. And you got to ask yourself the question, as Daniel probably is asking the question, why is this, God? We'll get to that as we work our way through the book, by the way, and we look a little bit more at the 70 years of captivity and beyond. But you got to put yourself in Daniel's shoes for a second. You say, why is this, God? And now your moment of crisis comes. And everything's being ripped away from you. You're being forced to act Babylonian, think Babylonian, do the Babylonian things. And you say, very telling to us, he doesn't balk at everything. Many times for us in Christians, we just want to pick a fight with every little thing that could possibly go on that's going to, you know, seem to run counter to us. He doesn't balk at the name change. He doesn't balk at reading Babylonian literature. He doesn't throw down the gauntlet on that, but he throws down the gauntlet on this one point. And he says, if you will test us for 10 days, you will find my God faithful. That's essentially what he's saying. Give us 10 days. And I have confidence that God will vindicate this request of his servant. 10 days passed, they're vindicated. And then there's a period of time that takes us to our text today. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding and visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke to them thus and thus, and none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. At the end of that time, that's 3 years, beloved. How long was the period of preparation and service and reading this Babylonian literature and doing these things per the king's edict? 3 years they were to be indoctrinated by the things of Babylon, to be made into the men of Babylonian thinking that would lead these former Jewish people into the Babylonian way of life. 3 years of faithfulness on Daniel's part when it comes to this request of not eating their food, of not defiling himself. 3 years. We don't know anything about the struggles that happened between there. Presumably, I'm sure there were many, many other opportunities in which Daniel would face requests that would seem to fly in the face of his faith, in the face of his reason about what God is doing and why. Voices of opposition creeping into her ear. And yet, faithfulness met by years and years and years of adherence to what he knew was right. That takes it from a momentary victory of faith and moves it into a lifestyle of faith. Any one of you may face a challenge in your life that'll cause a crisis of faith. For a moment, an obstacle. Will you stand or fall in this moment? You may stand. But if any of you have paid any attention to politics whatsoever, you realize that everything just keeps coming back. That once you push something down and defeat it, it pops up again and pops up again and pops up again. In politics, in families, in relationships, in struggles, in opposition, constant onslaught pushing you to the point where you compromise on faith. Standing strong in our faith requires perseverance. True. Requires commitment on our part. True. Requires even stronger commitment. And knowing that whatever it is that's happening around us, even if it seems to be diametrically opposed to what we think the plan and purposes of God are for our lives and should be for our homes and families, will we heed His voice and follow true to His word? I won't eat of the king's table. Give me fruits and vegetables. 3 years of dedication. And at the end of that 3 years of dedication, we see, once again, God's blessing. As for these 4 years, God gave them learning and skill in literature and wisdom. What is it the Babylonians were trying to do? We want you, as the edict goes out, the king wanted them to read the Babylonian literature, to be embraced by it. That's in verse 4, all right? These were youths without skill, good appearance, skillful in wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, competent to stand in the king's place. The king wanted them to do this. And now as you come to the back half at the end of this, and you see this event of Daniel's faithfulness leading to God giving Daniel wisdom. God giving Daniel knowledge. God giving Daniel understanding. The ability to interpret dreams. What are the opposing voices of the world? If you're in King Nebuchadnezzar's camp, as they come before you, 3 years of learning, and you look at these men of wisdom and stature, and you say to them, "Praise be to the teachers of Babylon who have instructed these youths. Look at the job they've done with them. Look at what it is they've instilled in them. There is none in my kingdom who are like them. These are my good servants." But was it the teachers of Babylon? Was it the instructors of Nebuchadnezzar? Was it any of those things who gave them wisdom? No. It was the God of Daniel, God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God whom they would not compromise in their service thereof, the God who has found them faithful and is blessing them with blessings, no doubt, gifts showered down upon them. Why? So that we could read about them years and years from now and say, "Man, what a man Daniel was." No. So that we could read about these events years and years from the time that they happened and say, "May God be glorified for what He has done in the lives of His people." That's the heart of the story of Daniel. That's what we're going to see over and over and over in Daniel's challenges. When he has the moments in the crisis of faith, we are going to see God being faithful to His people. And what should we hear from that voice? Beloved, hear this. As the world tells you, be unfaithful. Look at the Scriptures and hear, "I remain faithful. Remain faithful to me. I will never leave you nor forsake you," Jesus says to His disciples. He says to the church, do we really feel that in the midst of the struggles that we go through in the life, in the midst of the things that we compromise on as Christians who bear His name? "Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Have you really heard that instruction? Do you really believe that instruction? Do you really heed that voice and allow it to saturate the choices that we make? The story of Daniel is a story of Daniel's faithfulness, and I don't want to take away that because I think it speaks to the heart of our own faithfulness. But first, foremost, and fundamentally, all of Scripture is a testimony to God's faithfulness and God's graciousness. He is the one who gives and bestows on His people His gifts for His glory, for His purposes. And that is true in the life of Daniel. It's true in the life of all of His children. What sort of choices will you make as you confront your crisis moments of faith? Now, in the years to come, King spoke with them. Among none was found any like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. And Daniel serves thus for 70 years. Whatever service the Lord has before you, in your years of life, I pray that we will find, and you will find, Him faithful, and that you remain faithful in this world as a witness to who God is, what God has proclaimed, and what He is doing and will do on that last day. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word and Your truth. And Lord, we do know that things that are recorded here in story form still go on today. That there is an aspect of worldly wisdom that we do right to learn. But that fundamentally, the world does not make us who we are. You make us who we are if we are found in You. Help us to do that. To know, dearest Heavenly Father, when we need to stand strong and when we need to have a quiet voice. To know, dearest Heavenly Father, where we can compromise and where we can't compromise. And the things of Your Word applied to real life in real situations. Find us faithful, dearest Heavenly Father, and build us up in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the footsteps of all of those who have gone before us in faith. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn today will be hymn number 359. I'll go where you want me to go. Hymn 359. Please rise.